So this is where things really slow down. We've now entered the most solemn, darkest moment in our service, our week, our year of all history. The Son of God has died. The one called the Life has expired. The light of the world has been extinguished. Just when we thought it couldn't get any darker, we killed the divine flame. What happens when that happens? What happens when the one who breathes the life-giving Holy Spirit stops breathing? What happens when the one through whom all things are made is lifeless? What happens when the one in whom all things hold together dies? What happens when that happens? When the one in whom all things hold together dies? Well, there will be earthquakes as the earth has never seen. And not just in the earth's crust, but at the core of all creation, splitting more than just rocks, but all things, breaking out on all fault lines, shaking all structures and temples, and tearing all curtains, seen and unseen, in heaven and on earth. When the light of the world, in whose light we have life, dies, is snuffed out, there is darkness. Extensive, profound, terrible darkness. And whatever light our sun in the sky provides for us will not be enough to overcome this darkness. Not its 27 billion degree core temperature, nor even its solar flares blasting a billion tons of matter off of its surface. Not even this sun will ever be able to overcome this darkness on this night. For my reading of Scripture, I believe we have yet to see the full extent of the death of the Son of God in creation. Whatever the earthquakes and darkness happened on this day, I believe they were just the beginning. As Jesus said to his followers, there will be earthquakes and wars to come, but these will be just the beginning of the birth pangs of the new creation. We've yet to see the full labor pains, the full aftershock, I think, of Jesus' death in creation before the new creation is fully born and comes to light. But we do see here the beginning. With the eyes of faith, we see what happens when this happens. There are earthquakes. There's darkness. And the curtain in the temple is torn in two. Curtain of the temple is torn in two. What does that mean? I've been coming back to some Leonard Cohen songs as I've thought about this question. And he's got one called It's Torn that he wrote actually in his early 80s. Decades earlier, he sang it that there's a crack in everything, talking about the brokenness and the extensiveness of the fall. And here he sings, though, it's torn everywhere. It's torn where there's beauty. It's torn where there's death. It's torn where there's mercy, but torn somewhat less. It's torn on the right, and it's torn on the left. It's torn at the center, which few can accept. That's what we're seeing here in the temple. And its counterpart here on the cross. It's torn everywhere, even here at the center. The curse of the fall has now even reached the Holy of Holies, has now reached the Son of God. It's torn in the highest, from kingdom to crown. The messages fly, but the network is down. The message has gone out into the world, but somehow the message is not getting through, which is why we need services like this. The terror in the temple, it speaks of many things, in fact. It speaks of the fall, of the curse of the fall, the curse that Jesus experienced on the tree in order to deliver us from that curse. That we could live in God's presence as his children on the earth. The terror speaks of the fall, and it speaks of the aftershocks of Jesus' death, the birth pangs of his death that are going to bring forth the new creation, where all is well and as it should be. The opposites falter, the spirals reverse, and Eve must re-enter the sleep of her birth. The terror speaks of the birth pangs of the new creation. And the terror speaks of the end of the physical temple and of Jesus being the new temple. The temple where all can draw near. All can go into the most holy place. Because Jesus, he's not just the temple, he's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. In this hour, he's bearing the sin of the world. In this dark hour, God is judging and taking away the sin of the world. And when he breathes his last, it's finished. It's completed. The work is done. So what happens when the Savior dies? Death is overcome. The sin of the world is taken away. The curtain that separates us from God is torn in two so that all could draw near to God, even into the most holy place. The Holy Spirit tells us through the author of Hebrews, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened up for us through the curtain, that is his body, let us draw near to God. Hear that above all tonight. Let us draw near to God because of this. Jesus, he's the new temple. Jesus, he's the Lamb of God. He's also the curtain, the torn curtain. The tear speaks of Christ's suffering, of Jesus being torn in his flesh. Tear speaks of his suffering, his blood, so that we could draw near, so that we could enter the most holy place. The most holy place where we live in God's presence, face to face, filled and soaked with his Holy Spirit, walking and working in his ways as his children, welcomed and beloved on the earth. But maybe we've been neglecting to draw near. And it's time to do so. We've been hanging in the outer courts, neglecting to go all the way in. Maybe we're reluctant to. We're reluctant to draw near because we're ashamed, because we're too aware of our sin. And if that's us tonight, just hear this. One drop of his blood is enough to sweeten the whole immense and bitter ocean of your sin, my sin, the whole world. No matter how far we've fallen from grace, Jesus has fallen more, sunk more in his death on the cross, so that all future falling would merely be a falling into him. So that where sin abounds, grace would abound all the more. So that we can have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. Coming back to Cohen, one of his earliest songs. But here, right here, between the birthmark and the stain, between the ocean and your open vein, between the snowman and the rain, once again, love calls you by your name. It's here, right here, from this dark place, more than any other place, that love calls you by your name to draw near, to enter the most holy place. Here, right here, where it's torn.